Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Ajane Mason, and I will be your host for Blog Talk today.
Okay, this is Lorik. How are you? Spell your name so I pronounce it correctly.
Ajane, A-J-A-H-N-A-E.
Okay. A-J-A-H-N-A-E, Ajane, got it. Okay.
Okay, to begin, would you like to give a brief description of yourself, what you do?
Okay. I've done a lot of things in life, but the particular thing that interests Sharon Jackson is I'm a member of Better Investing. I've been a member for a couple of years. I've actually been studying with it for about 5 years. My Better Investing group is Polaris Group out of Palm Beach County, and essentially I invest in primarily common stocks. I do know a little bit about mutual funds and a bond fund, but that's my primary vehicle is common stocks. Did I lose you, Ajane? Hello?
Excuse me?
Oh, I was wondering if I lost you. Okay. Okay, and my name is Lorik. I was on a couple of weeks ago, and Sharon was nice enough to ask me to come back, and here I am.
Okay. Thank you for coming back. I'm sorry, one moment. Okay. Before I get into the questions that I have, I would like to ask if there is, first, any advice that you would give to us masterminders, us young masterminders, as to our saving money and investing?
Yeah. When I talked with Sharon last week, and she asked me to hit on this point straight out of the box, learning about investing is like learning about any other thing. It's like learning about clothes, learning about perfume, learning about playing basketball, learning about driving a car. It's a skill like anything else you do. The two biggest blocks to investing are procrastination and fear. Those are the blocks that you have to overcome, procrastination and fear. And people procrastinate for various reasons. They're afraid they're going to lose money. They want to get to it later, things like that. The best advice I would have to any young person to start investing is to start saving right now on a regular habit. Ideally, now I'm a Christian, so I tithe. I give away 10%, but I save 10%. To start with. That should be an ideal. And if you start now, before you crop up any bills, you'll build a habit. My grandmother, Victoria McCullough, back in Nassau, taught my oldest brother, Harold, who's 86 now, that if you make a dollar, save a dime. If you can build that in your belief system now, if you make a dollar, save a dime, 10% of all you make is yours to keep. That 10% will become the investment in your future. So that's the absolute thing I got. Don't procrastinate. Start tomorrow. Every dollar that touches your hand for whatever reason, gift card, birthday, graduation, work, every dollar that touches your hand, 10% gets set aside to start investing. And you have to save before you invest. So you save your 10% until you get enough to start investing. How's that for an answer?
That was perfect. Thank you. Okay. Well, for everyone that's on the call, if you just logged in or if you didn't hear, I'm Ajane Mason. I am a masterminder, and I am hosting the call. The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for coordination of knowledge and effort in the spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and to hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and creativity. Currently during our Sunday afternoon calls, the youth are discussing the book The Slight Edge. However, this afternoon discussion will focus on the financial portion of our lives, which is part of giving us a slight edge. Okay, Mr. Ingram, could you tell
Yes.
us about how you got started in your investment education and what has been the impact?
I got started with my investing. Ann McNeil at the time, who was very active with Better Investing, went to our church, and she brought this concept to the church of the Better Investing Club. Truthfully, I went to about two meetings, but because I read a lot, I bought the book straight out the box. I read the book, and I didn't understand it. And it looked too complicated to me. I didn't understand it. Now, Ann must have brought that, oh, God, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago. This is back to where I say procrastination. So I give you my own story. She must have bought it 10 or 12 years ago. I read it that time, and for about 5 years I didn't act. 7 years ago, I decided that what I was going to do, my goal, I have two sons. My oldest son, Joshua, is in college, and my youngest son, Jawanza, is in the 10th grade, but he's currently out here at a rally for Trayvon Martin. What I decided I wanted to do was to teach my sons how to invest so they could start life better than I had. And to do that, I had to learn myself. So 5 years passed from when Ann first introduced me to Better Investing. And then 7 years ago, I back to Napoleon Hill, the very first step. So you have to have a white hot desire to do it. 7 years ago, I had a white hot desire to learn how to invest. And that's how when I began. I began first talking with as many people as I could, interviewing as many people as I could. I started reading. I started watching TV until eventually I felt comfortable enough to start putting real money into play, which is what I did.
Okay. As a teen, what type of goals did you set that would help benefit you in the future, and what did you do to accomplish them?
As a teen?
Yes.
You said as a teen, okay. And by the way, last time I talked with Sharon, we said we have to say this out of the box. I am not a stockbroker. I am not a financial planner. I have no letters behind my name. So whatever I say is for educational purposes only. I make no specific recommendations for any stocks, and we have to say that. Now, as a teen, the best thing I did, I was a cop for 26 and a half years. And as a teen, the best thing I did was I had a picture in my mind of where I wanted to go. And where that has helped me is from when I was very young, I wanted to be a police officer. And because I wanted to be a police officer, I talked to as many police officers as I could. I read as many books as I could about police work. I saw as many movies as I could about police work. And I saw myself doing the job. And eventually I applied. I didn't get hired right away. I actually applied at 19, didn't get hired by two departments, and finally at 25 applied again and got hired. And that was most of my career. What I would encourage any teen to do, I don't make a vision for my life, and even my boys, I tell them this, that it's up to them to decide what their passion is. If they want to be doctors or carpenters, if they want to fly planes or sweep streets, that's up to them. What I ask them to do is have a passion about it, have a love for God, and if you make a dollar, save a dime. If you do that and you're good to your family, you're going to be fine in this life. So as teens, I would say have a view. Don't worry about it being perfect. Don't worry about it being the exact thing, but do something. Be in motion. And as you're in motion, what you're going to find is the very same skills that will move you from point A to point B will move you from point B to point F. And I say that to say to be a police officer, I thought, I read, I studied, I talked, I attempted. And then when it was time to do investing, it was the same set of skills: talk, read, attempt, study, and practice. And that's what I did as a teenager.
Okay. You said that you went back the first time you applied, and then you applied a second, and then the third time you finally got the job. where did you find that determination, that persistence to go back after you were turned down 2 times?
Okay, I want to tell a whole story because my wife said I only tell half the story of this. I failed the 10th grade, not because I didn't understand the work, mainly because I was lazy and had some bad habits. But I failed the 10th grade, and I'm honest about that. And my wife says, yeah, well, Lord, you tell that, but you don't tell the rest of the story. Well, the rest of the story is this. I failed the 10th grade, but after failing the 10th grade on my own, I put myself in summer school. I went to summer school. I made up the PE classes that I failed and English. And then the next year, I went to school from 7 in the morning until 7 at night to get myself back on track. And by the time I finished high school, I had made the dean's list. I wish I could tell you where it comes from. My belief is, truthfully, it comes from people praying for me when I was too dumb to pray for myself. You know, but I go back to the failing the 10th grade to say that because I had failure doesn't frighten me like it does other people. A lot of people are afraid to take a chance because what if I fail? Well, I have failed. And if nothing else, I know I ain't bleeding and I ain't dead. So it's easier for me to get back up and try again. And that's where a lot of my resilience comes from. It's from actually, I used to say it was Hewlett Packard. It wasn't Hewlett Packard. It was the guy who founded IBM. But he said one secret to success is you have to double your rate of failure. And what that means is the more you fail, the faster you learn. And that's where some of my resiliency comes from making bad decisions.
Okay. Who or what did you look for when it came to being inspired to pursue your dream to be a police officer?
That was easy. My big brother Bobby. He was a police officer already. He was a police officer, but he was a great model for life. When Bobby got on the police department, because we're black, and when Bobby got on the police department, they wouldn't even let blacks go to the academy. He got on the police department. He would literally work his job as a police officer, get off at night, and go mop floors at the hospital to make ends meet. So he was a man of hard work. By the time Bobby left the police department, he had made sergeant, got his PhD, went on to become chief of another department. Later, he went on to be mayor, went on to be school board. This man, when my brother passed away at 71 years old, he was a college professor, a pastor over a church, a school board representative, and sat on more boards than I could even count. So he showed me, if nothing else, he showed me the value of hard work and the reward of hard work. You know, he truly, truly was one of my best inspirations as it pertains to police work.
Okay. Last week on our call, we were discussing reflection. Daily meditation and reflection. Do you reflect daily, and what other things do you do to, remind yourself, how to basically keep your financial life and your personal life balanced?
Well, The as far as my daily reflections, what I started doing, I know it's been a couple of years now. Whenever I go on the computer, like even right now, as a matter of fact, whenever I turn on my computer, I make it a point before I go on the or whenever I go on the internet, the first site I hit is BibleGateway.com, and the reason I do that is Bible Gateway has a verse every day. So before I do anything, and that comes from Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So today, right before I called you, I clicked on the internet, and the verse for the day is, for the director of music of David, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. That's Psalms 14:1. That's one of my reflections. I don't go on the computer without going to Bible Gateway first. And also, I did read Napoleon Hill's book a couple of times.
Okay. What substantial book would you suggest to us teens in order to be successful in our future?
Substantial goals. The I'm not going to get into all of them. Brian Tracy is an author. He write. He's done a few things, but he has 21 Secrets of Millionaire Minds. The two of them that I like the most, even though he says you need to do all 21, but the two I like the most, one of them is be a life learner. Be a life learner. The worst thing you can do to yourself is to learn something and rest on that and believe you've obtained, attain a point where you can just sit. Be a life learner. Be eager and enthusiastic to learn and try new things, particularly in the world that you guys are coming out here in and the job market that you guys are going to go in. Things are changing at a lightning speed. And part of your success is going to be the speed at which you can process information and put it into play. Therefore, the first thing I would say is be a life learner. And the next thing I would say, back to what I said initially about procrastination, is to launch. Is to launch. My brother, I have 7 brothers and 3 sisters, so if I refer to different brothers, Bobby was the number 2 brother. Ronald is the number 4 brother. And when I was younger, I told Ronald one time, I said, man, I feel like I got a lot of potential. And he said, Lord, be careful that it doesn't stay just that, a lot of potential, and that you don't do anything with it. So read or learn, be a life learner, and launch. Whatever you're going to do, don't procrastinate. Get started. Make a step in that direction, no matter how small. That would be 2 of my suggestions.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ingram. And
hi, good afternoon.
How are you? My name is Stephanie Ebanks. I'm one of the members of Mastermind, and I'm fascinated by everything that you just told us. But I would really love to get back to the subject of financing and how you get started with your better investing and how you got started investing and learn a little bit more about your club. How did you decide which club to choose and which investment to choose? And
okay.
I know there's a whole lot of questions in there at one time.
No. First question at a time. My first step was I joined Better Investing, which it costs like $79 a year. And the reason for that is if the best investment you can make is knowledge. And Better Investing, for that $79, you'll get more knowledge than you can consume, trust me. You'll get a magazine. You'll get access to their website. You'll get to know what stocks are being bought this month. You'll get to know all the different seminars that are being put on. And that figures out to really less than $8 a month. So the first thing I did was join Better Investing. After that, I went to a Better Investing event because much like what you guys are, that's exactly what they are. They're basically a mastermind group for investors. Now, the only thing I did different, and this is not a I want to be careful here, this is not a dig at anybody or to put anything down on anybody, but Brian Tracy, one of his 21 laws is to seek for excellence in your chosen field of endeavor. That is to say, aspire to be in the top 10% of your chosen field of endeavor. So what I looked for was what investment club was making the most money. Because I had a situation where with the young people, which is good, I want them to start and start small and they can afford to do that. In my case, I had a larger amount of money that had to be moved straight away, and I didn't have the luxury of stretching that out over 10, 15 years. I needed to learn a skill very quickly, and I needed to be able to grab that knowledge and put it into play very quickly. And that's how I found it. Polaris, when I found Polaris Club, they had won the last 5 consecutive portfolio competitions. And I'm 53, and I'm the youngest one in the club. So everybody in there has been investing longer than I have.
Wow. So how do you guys decide which investment to choose?
In Polaris' case, when I got there, they already had a portfolio put together. They have in their bylaws, they cap out at 20 members. They're only allowed to have 20 members, and what happens is each member gets a holding. Once you get there, when I got there, my initial holding was Buffalo Wild Wings. Not to any great reason other than I was the only one that knew about them. They had invested in the company, and they were making money, but they really didn't have any firsthand knowledge. I had eaten Buffalo Wild Wings, knew about them, had been there a few times, knew, you know, what their plan was, so they assigned me that stock. And I studied that stock. And now everybody gets a stock to study, and it's your responsibility at the monthly meeting to say, our stock is doing good or our stock is not doing good. You know, it's meeting our expectations. We want to change it. And that's how they do it. That's how they decide. In terms of how they got the stocks in the first place, they go by the growth screens that Better Investing uses, which are 5 years increase in sales, 5 years increase in pre-tax profit, and 5 years increase in earnings per share.
Thank you, Mr. Ingram. We appreciate that information. Anjane, you have Ms. Sharon Jackson on the line who would like to make a comment.
Thank you very much. You started addressing my question, and that was how you study each one of the stocks. It's important for the kids to start looking at the fundamentals, you know, and so if you could, how do you look at the fundamentals of each one of the stocks to make a determination as to whether you want to put that on your watch list?
The simplest way, again, is to join Better Investing, because what happens is that Better Investing, first off, the magazine will tell you, they'll give you stocks that already meet that criteria. So that cuts down on a lot of the market right there. And they'll give you the top 100 stocks that's being traded. From that point, to make it very real for yourself, as a beginning investor, I would recommend you stick with, like Buffalo Wild Wings, stick with a stock that you can actually see the business and understand that, you know, I'm invested in this business and this is how this business is doing. I actually eat at Buffalo Wild Wings. Therefore, that stock means something to me. You know, we own Apple, of course, and I'm sitting here on an iPad and an iPhone. So for right now, that's what I would do. I would look to Better Investing. The other thing is, until you – my pastor used to say that he never went to a class for preaching a funeral. What he did was hang around his father in ministry, Joe Jackson. And by being around his father long enough, he learned how to do it. Investing is the same way. You know, read the magazines, but begin to talk to people who actually do it. And that's going to be the best learning experience you have, because you can't beat practical experience. But without a doubt, join Better Investing and start reading the magazine.
Okay, thank you.
Anjane, back to you.
Anjane, we have Ms. Monet on the call. She'd like to ask a question of Mr. Ingram.
Okay,
Monet, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi. My question is, have you ever had classes with teenagers that do stuff like what we do, like Mastermind? Have you ever taught them the basics of masterminding or investing?
Have I ever taught the basics of masterminding or investing? Other than my children, no. No, I teach my son. I started, and let me say this. Whatever I recommend, if I have an interest in it, I'll tell you, but like ShareBuilder, I have no interest in ShareBuilder. I don't own ShareBuilder. But I opened a ShareBuilder account for my son because it was a good way for them to begin. I have not taught classes, but I study constantly. Again, what I said about being a life learner. I read Smart Money Magazine. I read Money Magazine. I read Better Investing. I take online courses in investing. And I look at, you know, I watch my money. I can't put it no other way.
Oh. Okay. I guess that was going to be my question.
Okay. Okay, Ms. Stephanie, if there are... Well, everyone that's listening to the call, if you have any more questions, we're taking questions now for our guests.
Are you there, Andre?
Yes, I'm here. Okay, while we're waiting for questions. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that was. Do you have any last comments or thoughts or anything that you would like to add in, maybe that you missed?
Anjali, sorry. Yeah. We have a question from Natasha Jugger. Natasha, you're on the air with Mr. Ingram. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Oh, hi, Mr. Ingram.
Hi, Natasha.
My name is Natasha. Hi. I was wondering, for example, for like a start-out group, like a young mastermind group that was just starting out and they're better investing. Well, they've been started out for a while, but they haven't really gotten off the ground. Like, what do you say would be your best like, when you give, like, monthly, your monthly dues to your group, like, what do you say would be a good start-out number so that you still have something to invest, but it doesn't feel like you're giving your whole savings away since you're, like, so young, like, you don't make as much money as adults do?
$10 a month.
$10
a month. And here's something else, too. What will make you wealthy or not is not money, it's knowledge. And this is proven out, and if you live long enough, you'll see this. This is proven out many times over, because often you'll find people who run into large sums of money, and within a year or two, it's all gone, and they can't tell you where it went. Therefore, and I'm going to keep going back to the point, learning what to do with money and how it works should be your main focus. How does money work? Not how do you work for money, how does money work? You must understand that. That's what does it. Now, the other thing is, because the young lady before you asked if I had ever taught a course, I don't teach a course, but one thing I recommend anybody who will listen to me or ask me, hey, how do I get started, I recommend that you read The Richest Man in Babylon. It's a short book. It's 120 pages, Richest Man in Babylon, but it drives home some basic values that if you practice these values for all your life, the first thing you'll train yourself to do is not spend more than you make. And the next thing you'll train yourself to do is invest in your future. Because when you're paying yourself, what you're in effect doing is paying your future. The same way you pay for food, the same way you pay for clothes, the same way you pay for anything else, you are paying yourself so that you have a future. So read The Richest Man in Babylon.
Thank you so much. And I just had one more question for you. My next question. All right. My next question for you would probably be, my next question for you is, in researching, like, companies to invest in, I'm not sure if you, like, recommend stuff, but do you know any, like, maybe, do you have any advice on which area of stocks to invest in, like whether entertainment or sportswear or shoes? I'm just wondering.
The better investing has four things that they say, and one of them you touched on already. Put aside a set amount a month, $10, whatever it is, but the main thing is that you do it, that you start doing it, and you have the discipline to keep doing it. So that's one of the things to do. Another is invest in growth companies. Third is invest for the long term. And the last one is diversify. Without getting too technical, they are between 8 and 10 broad sectors. And over time, you should have something invested in all of those sectors, not just the entertainment industry, which I think is consumer discretionary, but or unless it's Pixar, then it's software. But you should have something invested in each sector. So something in industrials, something in consumer discretionary, something in energy. because each industry functions differently at different times in the economy. And you're putting together a portfolio that you want to grow over time, and that no matter what, I like what Bob Kiyosaki wrote, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he says your goal should be to be a sophisticated investor. And a sophisticated investor makes money whether the market is going up or the market is going down. And one way you become that is you diversify.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Ingram. We have another caller, Dr. Williams. is calling in with us. Dr. Williams, you're on the air. Go ahead with the question for Mr. Ingram.
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Ingram. How are you?
Okay. You're not going to fool me. If you're a doctor, you're not in high school.
No. No.
Okay. I'm just getting off.
I get why somebody says I'm using that title. Anyway, I'm listening to you. And I find it quite. I find your the way that you have evolved and the way you're talking about investing and even just the personal way of how you live your life is how you also try to invest. I find it quite fascinating. I have one question. I was thinking as I was listening that it's really important the point that you're emphasizing about the discipline of saving. And just a little bit can actually make a lot because for many years I discounted all this idea about putting away $5 or $10 a month or whatever, thinking that you had to get a big sum of money to put away. And then I joined in opened a new account with a bank, and they enrolled me for automatic savings deduction, and they were only taking like $10 out of a month. And in a year, that turned out to be quite a lot of money that I actually needed. And so, you know, the virtue of putting away a little bit at a time and really not touching it, unless you're going to investing it, not consuming it, I think is something that cannot be underemphasized. I was wondering, how is it with the management of your Polaris, do you also take any... Do you do this? I know you have the four industry that you just said, Natasha, but do you also, your club also invest in a riskier type of investment or in foreign exchange, or is it basically stocks?
No, here's the thing. I'm reading, like, again, I emphasize life learning. I'm reading now The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, and one of the things that you want to do, if you want to be successful, I'm saying diversify, but you should have a sharp focus to start with.
Mm.
And what happens is we have a very sharp focus for common stocks. Now, what happens within that club, we have our stocks that we monitor for that club. And then outside the club, I have my own stocks that I invest in, which are actually different holdings. But I have a very sharp focus on common stocks. Now, people have come to me and said, hey, here's my card. I run a hedge fund. You ought to come see it. Now, my daddy used to say, be swift to hear and slow to speak. So I'll listen, but I don't get out there too much because common stocks are what I understand. Common stocks are what I emphasize and learn. That's what I say. Common stocks and mutual funds are where I stay. Now, if you want to speculate, Ben Graham says, Ben Graham was the guy who Warren Buffett studied under. Ben Graham said, if you want to speculate, no more than 5% of your portfolio should be in speculative investment. So if you think that this is a hot stock and it's going to blow up or whatever, 5%. Because that way, if it doesn't blow up, you haven't damaged your portfolio. If it does blow up, even if it quadruples, great, then you just increase your portfolio 20%.
Okay. Well, thank you, because I think it's really important that for the young people who are listening that how important it is really to just, first of all, to be consistent, to be disciplined, and to really stick with, staples and not be dazzled by, people come and tell you all kinds of things, oh, I just made a lot of money on this, X, Y, Z, and not to go into areas that you haven't actually studied. So the idea you're saying of reading consistently, following through, and looking around and understanding what you're doing and not being led astray is really a good point. Thank you so much.
Okay, and then I want to take on what Dr. Williams, I'd add this too. The reason it was critical for me to study investing for my sons is that I grew up in what's called the industrial era. And in the industrial era, retirements were possible. That is to say that you could work, you expected to go somewhere, work for 20, 30 years, and then that place would give you retirement, and you'd have your Social Security. I honestly don't know if Social Security will be around by the time you guys get there. And I also think that that's called a defined benefit plan, is going the way of the dinosaur. I'm not even sure it's going to exist by the time my sons start working. And for that reason, I am training them to create their own retirement plan that's portable. And if they get laid off in mid-career or whatever, they'll still have themselves, by mid-career, they should be independent, financially independent. And that's how I'm training them. And if you can't hit a target that you don't aim at. And that's the target I'm giving them. Back to you, Anjanae.
Okay, thank you. Next,
Anjanae, sorry, before you go on, Ann couldn't join us, but we have Ms. Edwina from Wisconsin who'd like to ask a question.
Go ahead. Hello, Edwina.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay, I'm fine. The reason I'm calling, I guess I purchased a car, and my tax accountant said that wasn't the best move to make, because what I did, I had an annuity, and I took the money out, and I'm not quite 59 and a half, and so I was penalized.
Why were you? Yes.
Yes. Because
yeah,
I had paid cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, and, you know, again, when you say you want people, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted the car and you're happy with the car, then God bless you. If you paid
mm-hmm.
off the car, go enjoy and whatever. You know, I
right.
I'm not averse to that. We just bought a Lexus. So I ain't against that.
Well, I didn't buy a Lexus.
I didn't buy
paid cash for a Lexus.
but here's the thing. What your tax accountant was saying,
mm-hmm.
and money doesn't rule you. I mean, money is here to serve you.
Yeah.
But what he was saying is one of the things you don't want to do from an investment aspect is you don't ever want to trade a money-making asset for a depreciating asset, and that's basically what you did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Your annuity was making money, so you'll enjoy it, will be taking money. It's going to be costing money. It costs money to run. It's going to depreciate. And that's what they're saying in terms of if you look at just a pure line of, you know, this item to that item,
mm-hmm.
it does not – from a tax standpoint, it doesn't make sense. Also, the 10% penalty, which got you too, doesn't make sense. I'm not going to say it doesn't make sense. It is not a financially savvy move.
Right.
Now, the
right.
flip side of that is if you need a car, fine. And also, if you didn't create any debt, that is a savvy move because now you have a car, you can get around, and, you know, over time, especially if it lasts over time, that's even better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but don't go feeling bad or second-guessing yourself. If you wanted the car, you needed a car to get around, you need a reliable transportation, it is a choice. Now, and I'll say this, I love my pastor, Bishop. Bishop says when he was little, he used to eat these his mom used to buy these sunshine cookies because they were cheap,
mm-hmm.
which was fine because he had a bunch of kids, they didn't have much money. He said now that he's older and actually has quite a bit of money, he still buys those sunshine cookies. The
mm-hmm.
difference, though, is he has a choice.
Mm-hmm.
He can buy sunshine. He can buy Oreo. He can buy Häagen-Dazs ice cream. He can buy whatever he wants. He just happens to still like those sunshine cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Money, all money is options.
Okay.
By being wise enough to have your annuity, you gave yourself an option that many people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it is. Money increases your choices, whatever your choices happen to be. You know, so it was. If you're happy with the car, then it was a good choice.
Okay.
Yeah,
I won't do it. I won't do that again. I'll check with, you know, make sure.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't
okay.
for my work. It was something I had done, you know, I'd had for a while.
Yeah.
I was hoping
as
my
quick
son
as
would.
As quick as possible, save back. Start back saving.
Say, okay.
As fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ingram, this is Stephanie
yes.
again. You mentioned that there was 8 different sectors in VI, better in investing, I guess. Can you give us an idea of what those are and how do you figure out how they are?
If you when you subscribe to Better Investing, what happened is the there's a program they have inside it, and you put the ticker inside that program, and it will now, that program will now tell you which sector that it comes in. I said eight, you know, depending on who you talk to, Morningstar or whatever, it may be 10. But the broad sectors, and I don't know if I can nail all eight of them for you, but let me give it a shot. Telecommunications is one. Utilities is another one. There's consumer discretionary and consumer defensive. Discretionary would be Coach bags. You know, if you buy those purses, defensive would be Colgate toothpaste. Because whether there's a recession or not, you got to brush your teeth. That's one. You know, technology is a huge one right now. Health is another one. And the way you know it is when you usually any stock that you buy, if you hit the website and go to their investors, they'll tell you what sector they're operating out of. And if not, if you go to Morningstar.com, some parts of it are free, but to get to the webpage is free. If you put in any ticker, Morningstar will tell you what sector that particular stock hails from. Apple is technology stock. Philip Morris is consumer discretionary. Industrials is another one because I just bought CMI. Industrials is another one. Energy, which is oil, petroleum, solar energy, hydraulic energy. And that's about six of them. You know, as we talk, I'll remember the others, you know, as they come along. Red Lobster would fall in the consumer discretionary because you're not go out and eat, you know. But that's them. Technology, telecommunications. That's them. Like I said, give me, you know, a couple of the others will pop in my mind.
Okay.
Mr. Ingram.
Thank you very much.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ingram, this is Sharon Jackson. There are several things that you brought up that I kind of wanted you to go back over. The last time we talked to you, you made mention about it doesn't matter, anyone can discuss the fundamentals of, learn the technique of watching stock and being able to invest. And you said the problem is having the right relationship with money. You touched on that, but I kind of wanted you to go back over that because I think it's really important for you to really understand what you mean about having the right relationship with money. The other thing is that you talked about growth companies, but I'm not sure that our kids understand what a growth company is. The last thing is that you talked about sharp focus. I think you brushed on how what that meant, but it'd be nice if you went back and kind of find what it meant, how you use sharp focus. And the last thing is, what was interesting is that you talked about the various sectors and diversity, but there are reasons why you pair them. Some will go down, and because they're going down, then that means another sector automatically goes up. You know, like the impact that energy, the cost of gas, the cost of oil is impacting certain sectors, but it doesn't impact other sectors or causes other sectors to become more valuable. So if you could, it'd be nice. That was a lot. I just ask you to deal with a mouthful. But if you can remember them, it'd be nice for you to be able to go back and focus in on some of those.
Okay. I got three of them. So I'll start with the first one is attitude. The reason Dolph DeRoos is a big real estate investor out of Australia, and he puts on these courses in investing in real estate. But the first day of the course is actually not spent with anything to do with real estate. It's spent to deal with how you see money and the various times, the way you refer to money. Oh, look at him. He's filthy rich. So a lot of times there are belief systems that have been planted in you that you don't even realize. And many people have been made to think that being wealthy is bad, which, you know, I'll start out with Abraham in the Bible was quite wealthy, and the guy who gave Jesus his tomb, they say Joseph, the wealthy man of Arimathea. So wealth in itself has no intrinsic ill. You can make it bad or good, but that's your own issue. That has nothing to do with wealth. You know, wealth is a good thing. Right now, we're getting ready to build a family life center at my church. It costs. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It just costs. So you have to do that. So your attitude about money a belief, that, an understanding that money is what I just said, it's options. It gives you options. And that instead of, there's a term disposable income, what that means is after you pay your bills, the money you have left. If you, that too is a dangerous word, disposable. It's not disposable, it's discretionary. And by being discretionary, you have the option to put it someplace where it will grow. So attitude is powerful. The technical part of investing, I hate to say it, it really ain't that hard. It's not. I mean, you have to read like anything else. You have to study. You pay attention. But like shooting a basketball, you do enough of it, you'll get good at it. But what will block you is the attitude and some of the things, some of the self-talk you'll give yourself. And I've heard people say it. Oh, I'm spending my money because what if I die tomorrow? Well, what if you die tomorrow? What the hell is, I'm sorry, what does that have to do with anything? If you die tomorrow, but what if you live to be 100? And my goal is that I never outlive my money. So those kind of sayings, be careful, because people who you trust, you'll hear them say it. You know, I did a talk at my church about investing, and one of the guys, good guy, love him to death. But the first thing he came back with was, yeah, but don't forget WorldCom. Okay, WorldCom was a big company that went bust. If you follow their strategy, if you're diversified or whatever, that's fine. Then even if a company goes down, you'll still make money. But in the meantime, he's saying, look at WorldCom, and Warren Buffett is sitting on $394 billion. So he meant well. I know he meant well by telling the boys, you know, whatever you do, be careful. But that's his own fear that he's now transmitting out. So that's why I say attitude is a powerful thing. The next thing was, how do you determine a growth company? Back to joining Better Investing, you must join Better Investing, because Better Investing describes a growth company as a company whose sales are increasing at least 15% over the last 5 years, 15% per year, whose earnings per share have increased at 15% per year for the last 5 years. Very hard to figure out without being able to go into the Better Investing graph. If you go into Better Investing, once you subscribe, you go in there, you put in the ticker, and it'll show you in linear form, it'll show you on a graph whether or not the company sales are going up or down. And we like companies that are trending up, whose profit is trending up, whose sales are trending up, and whose earnings per share are trending up. So that's what we do. The third thing you said was sectors, the importance of sectors. And you are completely right. Right now, gas is just topped $4 a gallon here in Florida, average price. So if you have money in the energy sector, you're covered. But this, when I bought Hess last year, and I bought it just as the price was going down, I ended up losing money on Hess. But it's okay. That was one sector I had. So now that gas is going up, which I do have a gas holding, I am experiencing that gain. But at the same time, gas goes up, other things may go down. Consumer discretionary tends to go down when gas goes up because people are spending more money on gas. They don't have money to spend elsewhere. The consumer defensive tends to hold, whether there's a recession or not. Consumer defensive tends to hold. Healthcare tends to hold. Because whether, you know, the economy is bad or not, you got to buy cold medicine. So those are the different sectors, and they do move in different directions. To explain a growth company without some sort of chart or being able to take you on a Better Investing webpage will be difficult, but just understand it's a company like Buffalo Wild Wings that set last year to open 100 new stores. That's growth. That's growth, because what they're giving themselves is different outlets through which they can make sales. And sales, growth drives sales. So a company that can do it, Apple, how do they grow? Well, they come up with iPad 1, iPad 2, iPad 3, iPad 4. That's growth. Innovation is growth. That's how those companies grow. Now, you said four things, attitude, sector, and growth, and I cannot remember what the fourth thing was, Sharon. Hello?
I had to open up my mic. The last one was your sharp focus.
Oh, focus. What's his name? Warren Buffett says that, and Robert Kiyosaki, both of them are very wealthy, say that focus is incredibly important. And again, back to what I said to one of the callers, I'm not saying you can't make money in hedge funds. I'm not saying you can't make money in oil. I don't know. I'm saying that for right now, my focus is common stocks and learning and mastering that. you're better off mastering. The reason people try to spread themselves too thin is, well, if that fails, then I fall back on this. If that fails, I fall back on this. The focus is what allows you to make your decisions carefully. There's a line in Alice in Wonderland, I think, where she comes up on the cat, and she comes to a fork in the road and asks the cat, hey, which way should I go? And the cat said, well, where do you want to get? She said, well, I don't know. Well, it didn't go either way. If you don't have a focus, if you don't know where you want to go, then one way is as good as the other. You must have focus. And by focus, I never, especially for you young people, I never say don't dream big. Dream huge. Dream big dreams. You want to be a pro football player. You want to be a ballet dancer. You want to be an astronaut. Whatever you want to do, don't be afraid to dream. And then once you dream, that gives you your focus. You hold on to that dream. You thirst after that dream. You talk about it. You go to sleep. My son, God bless him, 15 years old, decided a few months ago he wants to play lacrosse. I don't know nothing about lacrosse. He comes home, hey, Dad, I want to play lacrosse. Give it a shot. Let's see what happens. I don't know where he'll go with lacrosse, but I can tell you this. He practices incessantly. He walks around with his stick. The stick's in the van right now, as a matter of fact. He walks around with his stick. He runs. He cleans his gear. He does it. He did all that on his own because he's focused, and that's something that he wants to do. I can't emphasize it enough. You must focus, and don't be afraid if you have to adjust your flight later on. If you started out wanting to be a doctor and end up getting a PhD in microbiology, that's okay. At least you were working, and at least you were headed somewhere. The worst thing to do is nothing. The worst decision is indecision. Make a decision and move.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I that was an excellent comment. Ajane?
Yes.
Okay, back to you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ingram, thank you for everything that you just said. That was a lot. Okay, I have one last question for you, and then two of our callers would like to ask their questions, and then we'll be closing out.
Okay.
Which one of those points that you just discussed with Ms. Sharon would you suggest that we focus on as teens, as just getting into the whole investing and stock market and all of that?
I would say action. Open a share builder account. Stop worrying about doing it perfectly. Get together $100 and open a share builder account. It's perfect because you can buy fractional shares. And you can set it up so you say, listen, we're going to put in $10 a month, but right now all we're doing is putting in money and studying. Okay? When I finally did move my real money, before I had ever done it, I had studied. So when I moved it, it wasn't as scary for me. Risk is a product of knowledge and ability. What's risky for somebody else is not risky for me. You know, I just sat down. I just finished studying General Electric Company, an excellent company founded by Thomas Edison in 1896. Has all the great things, all the great wisdom. I'm not going to invest in it because it doesn't fit my goal. I have a specific focus that I'm looking for. It doesn't fit my goal right now. It's a great company. Okay, but I have a focus. So right now, the only way you're going to get a focus is to do it. You got to do it, and you got to make mistakes. So get the mistakes out of the way and get on with it. And you said there were two questions, so I'll be quiet because I want the questions to get in.
Actually, you have three questions. The first going to be from Ms. Ann McNeil. She's joining us on the line.
Ms. Oh, God bless her. Annie, I couldn't have done it without you, girl. Sorry. Go ahead.
Welcome again, Laura. I just want to say thank you so very much for blessing all of us, the adults and the children. And just wanted to ask, what were your thoughts about mixing your portfolio with real estate or anything other than common stock?
Okay, now, again, this is me, Lauren. This ain't Better Invested talking. My overall allocation is one-third in bond funds, not bonds directly, in bond funds, one-third in common stock and one-third in real estate. I'm absolutely for it. I'm absolutely for it. I'm absolutely for real estate. You can't beat it. If you read The Richest Man in Babylon, even back then, that's what he said, real estate. So, yes, you can own real estate. That's a great thing.
Okay, but that's a personal portfolio. We're talking about in terms of a club.
I can't speak of that which I have no authority on. As a club, no. As a club, stay focused. If it's a better investing club, stay focused on that. Now, you're in a different business. You may have the eye and the knowledge for that. That's fine. But real estate has its own good things and bad things. If I were going to do that, I would have a separate club for real estate, one club for, you know, investing in stocks, one club for real estate.
Okay,
but that's me.
Thank you.
That's the extent that my brain can handle. Me. And you're
It's good, and it's along the lines of what Ben Investing promotes, but I just wanted to have the kids to listen and hear you say it because, again, that is what Better Investing promotes, and that way, you know, and if it's a personal portfolio, that's one thing, but if it's a club, you do want to keep them separate. So I'm going to just, I mean, that's it for me, but there are a couple of more questions. Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay. Next.
Yes, Anjanae, we have another youth, Ms. Natasha Jugger, who'd like to ask another question before we get ready to close. Natasha, you're on here with Mr. Ingram.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Ingram. I had one last question, and my question would be for the youth. How would you feel about the dividend reinvestment program? I don't know how to pronounce it, but yeah.
Yeah, DRIP. It's fine. It's great. Yeah, you want to reinvest. You want to reinvest. At your level, you should automatically reinvest. And that way, you know, as your dividends are paid, they'll go back in. I actually take my dividends as cash and then decide which stock to put them in. But as a beginner, the simplest way is to just do the dividend reinvestment program. Now, I think it's great. I think it's great. But you guys, I want to commend you. It's great. You know, all action is born in thought. So all deed is born in thought. You're thinking right. So you're thinking on the right lines. And all I do encourage you is to move. Is to move. And there are great and wonderful things, you know, ahead for you. You can have a life of abundance. You can. More millionaires are made. Only 3% of the millionaires are made from entertainment and sports. So you're in the 97% bracket. You're fine.
I think we have one last question from Ms. Monet Turner. Monet, our youth, I am mayor. You have a question for Mr. Ingram?
Yes. Are there any better investing classes that are geared toward young people?
Yeah, I'm sure Ann McNeil is over that. But, yeah, if you go on the website, you go. They have a whole section for young people. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Ingram, well, once again, thank you for coming on the call today. I think everyone that was listening learned something. Any last remarks or anything, because we're closing up?
Nope, thank you. It was great. I wish you all well. You know, go forward and conquer. Go forward and conquer. Investing is not meant to be a substitute for living life. You can go and do whatever you want. That's why I'm saying all it's meant to enhance and better your life. Whatever your passion is, follow your passion. All investing is taking 10% of your money, setting it to the side, and building an estate for your future. The more people you know, yes, make new friends. Make friends who invest. Very difficult to grow in an area that if you're hanging around the same people you've always been hanging around with, how will you ever learn anything new? That's why I had to drive all the way up to Palm Beach, even though I live in Pembroke Pines, because I needed people who knew more than I knew and could guide me. So that's it. Thank you all. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Anjanae. Thank you all for calling. God bless you all and keep you, and I wish you well. Are we off?
Yes, we are off. Thank you, Ms. Ingram.
Yes.
Yes, we're off. Thank you. It went very well. It was good.
Okay. Yeah.